Well, hi, everybody, and welcome tonight to our Lent gathering. Really great to see you here on a Wednesday night. This season of Lent, our theme has been living from the inside out. And in it, what we're seeking to do is lean into God in order that we bring our inner life in Jesus into congruity with the outer life that we display to the world and the people that are around us. And through these 6 weeks, we're looking at six building blocks for a life of congruity with Jesus as our foundation, and tonight it's growth. I got a question to start with. Have you ever been in a moment that highlighted your need to grow and the expanse of room that you have to be able to grow? Okay, good, thanks. We're all among friends here, right? So I'm a morning person. I love the mornings. If I'm up before the sun, life is good. And the division of labor in our home has me responsible for many mornings with our kids, and most days I do this with a lot of joy. This is our first year of school. Our son's in kindergarten, which means that there's a lot of things to do. There's things to prepare and accomplish before we get out the door, and doing so on time with little ones is sometimes next to impossible, right? There's wake-ups to accomplish, clothes to fold, and people to persuade to wear them. There are breakfasts to make, lunches to prepare, regular needs and demands. Sometimes there's like some contests and arguing. I beat you drinking the orange juice. No, you didn't. There's touching, bickering, laughing, hugs, love, silliness, rolling around on the floor, jackets, mittens, and hats to retrieve, boots to wear, backpacks to pack, teeth to brush, including my own, and buses to catch. And one particular morning recently, the clock was ticking. And the more that it did, the more that things rose within me. My emotions were telling me stories that my brain was not catching, and I began to act that way. And my voice rose in lockstep with my angst, and the final shoe dropped. My son's gloves were nowhere to be found. And we had to catch the bus. So in the back entryway of our home stood my son, dressed and ready except for his gloves. And next to him was my daughter with only shorts, a t-shirt, barefoot feet in her winter boots, and a stocking cap on that had a twins insignia on it. It's a beautiful picture that I have even in my mind right now. But unfortunately, I wasn't all that beautiful. Somebody began to throw a tantrum, and it was me. And what I did was say some things that I wished that I didn't and whisked them away in a huff to try to catch the bus. Tears were shed that were not mine. And we missed the bus. And I recognized my need to grow because I was most responsible in that moment. You know, there have been a fair amount of opportunities as a parent to grow, and it's not about my kids, it's about me and my need for growth. And we apologized to each other, and we made changes. We had a great morning. In fact, when I drove my son to school, we strategized. What if we got up 10 minutes earlier? And then what if Dad made everything and got it all ready for you the night before? And he keeps me accountable to that, interestingly enough, which is awesome. I had to make some changes, and they've been really helpful. You know, what's interestingly true about every single one of us in this room is that we are an active mixture. Are we not? We're an active mixture of good and bad. We're an active mixture of growth and stagnation. We're an active mixture of a lot of different things. And put it simply, every single one of us has a lot of opportunity and room to grow. But yet, what's also stunningly true about us is God loves us so much just the way that we are tonight. And it even gets better. He loves us so much that he refuses to leave us the way that we are tonight. Because he gives us his power, his strength, courage that we need, the provision that we need to grow in ways that we are not capable of on our own. And that's a free gift of something called his grace. And it's a beautiful invitation. Many authors have said that statement. God loves you just the way that you are. And he loves you so much, he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to grow. I've used that quote in other messages than tonight. And I'll never forget the first time that God awakened to me this part of his character, because it's so motivating that God loves us as we are, but he gives us so much grace and love that he wants us to grow. What God wants to do is bring about unimaginable beauty in our character that's actually attainable for average, ordinary people like me and like you, first on the inside of our heart and then to live out on the outside. And for us to live a life of congruity between our inner life and the life that we then display to the world around us, to those who are close to us and those who we may not know, that's his goal, congruity. And all that we need to do is simply receive it. And there's a passage from Galatians chapter 5 that displays what this looks like. It identifies those two mixtures, that mixture of things that we don't want to be about, but yet that mixture of things that we hear God's voice calling out in us and saying, yes, I want that in you. And we reply to him, I want that too. Will you help me? And what I want to do is read this passage. It's rather long, so I'm just going to ask that you hang in there with me. And that by faith, you recognize that in this moment, the Spirit is here and active and working and wants to illuminate something in this scripture passage for you, maybe that you did not know even before. So I just invite you, whatever posture that maybe you need to take, perhaps you'd like to open up your hands, maybe you want to close your eyes, maybe you just want to look at me, whatever it is that would help you to lean in and listen to what God has to say to you through his word tonight, I just invite you to do. This is Galatians 5, verses 13 through 26. Brothers and sisters, God has called you to freedom. Hear the call. And do not spoil this gift by using your liberty to engage in what your flesh desires. Instead, use it to serve each other as Jesus taught through love. For the whole law comes down to this one instruction, love your neighbor as yourself. So why all this vicious gnawing on each other? If you're not careful, you'll find that you've eaten each other alive. Here is my instruction. Walk in the Spirit. And let the Spirit bring order to your life. If you do, you will never give in to your selfish and sinful cravings. For everything the flesh desires goes against the Spirit. And everything the Spirit desires goes against the flesh. There is a constant battle raging between them that prevents you from doing the good that you want to do. But when you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer subject to the law. It's clear that our flesh entices us into practicing some of its most heinous acts, participating in corrupt sexual relationships, impurity, unbridled lust, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, arguing, jealousy, anger, selfishness, contentiousness, division, envy of others' good fortune, drunkenness, drunken revelry, and other shameful vices that plague humankind. I told you this clearly before, and I only tell you again, so there's no room for confusion. Those who give in to these ways will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces a different kind of fruit. Unconditional love, joy, peace, patience, kind-heartedness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You won't find any law opposed to fruit like this. Those of us who belong to the Anointed One have crucified our old lives and put to death the flesh and all the lusts and desires that plague us. Now, since we have chosen to walk with the Spirit, let's keep each step in perfect sync with God's Spirit. This will happen when we set aside our self-interests and work together to create true community instead of a culture consumed by provocation, by pride, and envy. One of the reminders that I get in this passage of scripture is God has given it to us is that he knows that we're a mixture of things that we want to be about and things that we don't want to be about. And he enters into our world to remind us that there is unbelievable provision for us to live in step with the Spirit to bring about that beauty and that awe and that awesomeness. So I think there are three questions tonight that I want to invite you to begin to ask. Maybe you are already, maybe you aren't. But they're questions that have one word in them that all begin with the letter E. Perhaps that will help us to remember them. But the first question is this: are you examined? Are you examined? Every day, our mixed nature shows its head. Today, I believe for everybody in this room, your good showed up and your bad showed up. Because mine did too. And the reality of that is we bring ourselves freely into God's presence. The sum result of our day is wins and losses, getting it rights and getting it wrongs, moments that produce honor and moments that produce honor. The question is, are we present enough to them to make accurate observations and correct and accurate measurements of how we're actually doing? You know, on average, every person in this room has 3.4 blind spots. Things that you don't know that are true about you that you may not want to be true about you. And if you don't believe that's true, then you have 4.4. And the reality of our lives every single day is they move with such speed that if we don't stop long enough to ask some real questions about how we're truly doing, we'll miss the opportunity. At the end of every day, two prayers to pray. God, reveal to me where I got it right. And it may sound like this. You know, I paused to listen to my colleague at work instead of disengaging in impatience when they were sharing about their lives. Or I behaved patiently with my kids when my emotions were not patient. I did not give in to that temptation, but instead took the way out that God provided. The second prayer, actually, let me pause there real quick. It's really important to ask that because oftentimes we go to problems, right? It's really important to ask that because we do get it right. And if we don't let God's voice say, well done, I think we'll be limited. But the second prayer that we ought to ask God is, reveal to me when I was not in step with you, when I did not get it right. It may be like this. I did not tell the truth about that mistake, and rather than accepting and taking responsibility for the issue, I missed that opportunity. Or I blame traffic for being late to my meeting instead of taking responsibility for a mismanagement of time. Or I took my stress out on my family, and that's not how I want to be. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself. And when we do that, God will graciously and lovingly reveal to us ways that we can keep up what we're doing and ways that we can grow. Are you examined? The second is, are you engaged? Are you engaged? One of the most important things that I think we need to acknowledge about our spiritual growth, in other words, going to a place that we're not yet, that only God can bring us to, in a life of congruity between our inner life and our outer life, one of the most important recognitions that we have to make is that we are not capable to grow ourselves. All over the scripture, that's repeated. We're not capable on our own to grow ourselves. God is the one who grows us. That's his job. However, we do have a very critical role in the result. One of the most helpful metaphors for me about spiritual growth has been that of a sailboat or sailing. Every good sailor knows that what you need to do is put the sail up, steer the boat into the wind, and the sail will catch that wind and the boat will go somewhere. And there's a lot more technical realities to that as well, I know. But every good sailor will say, you have to put the sail up. And you have to pilot that boat into where the winds are blowing the best. And you have to put that boat in a place where it can catch the winds. And the same is the truth for our souls. Spiritually, metaphorically, we have to raise the sail. We have to engage with God. We have to prayerfully seek him every single day, whether that's here in the worship center on Wednesday night or whether that's Thursday morning at your desk. To prayerfully engage with him every single day and put the sail up. And what will happen in our lives is the movements of the Holy Spirit will happen. God will awaken us to new places, new dimensions of himself and his grace and his love and his goodness for us that he wants us to know. God will prepare us and equip us with skills and strength and courage and the abilities that we need in order to go somewhere with him that we weren't capable of before. And maybe that we never imagined that we'd be capable of. And God wants us then to go and be a blessing, to give honor and praise to him and make a meaningful difference in each other's lives by the way that we're growing. It's not us who makes ourselves grow, but we do determine whether or not we do. We partner with God. Remember that phrase in Galatians 5? Keep in step with the Spirit. How you do so tonight, I believe God will reveal to you. How you do so tomorrow morning, I believe if we're keeping in step with him, God will reveal to you. It'll be there. Are you examined? Are you engaged? And then third, are you eager? Do you want to grow? If you don't, be honest. But if you do, approach God with an eagerness of your heart and your soul to say, God, I know I'm not going to get it perfect, but I want to be better at following Jesus than I was yesterday. And what I'm speaking to is the attitude of your mind and my mind. One of the biggest barriers of our spiritual growth is ourselves for a number of different reasons. But personally, I think, in my opinion, one of the primary reasons is that anytime where we see a deficit in our character, what happens is we get stunningly discouraged. And we might think, man, I'm never going to get that right. It might even tap into a bunch of shame that we haven't dealt with. However, God sees it differently. God sees it as an opportunity and is eager to help. If we were only as eager to grow as God is for us to grow, some profound and powerful things would happen. It's important to know that those weak edges in our character don't please, nor do they honor God. But yet it's also important to see that that God views them as opportunities. If we are humble, if we are aware, if we are available to God just enough, that's where God does some of his best work. Where's God's strength made perfect? In our weakness, right? That's where God wants to do some of his best work, if we're eager enough to receive it. I don't know about you, but I just find that in moments where I'm eager to grow, when I can get myself out of the way, when my pride doesn't rise up and miss an opportunity, and that eagerness wins and humility wins, I can grow in places that I really, really want to at the end of the day. But it's also important to know that every one of us, including myself, are very prone and willing to get in the way. Our pride might rise up. We may not be able to hear God's voice, and even the voice of God through other people who are closest to us. We have to be eager to receive it. Have you ever been in a moment where someone in your life, whatever relationship you had with them, whether you knew them well or whether you knew them not at all, said this statement, "This is who I am. I can't change." Ever been in one of those moments? I don't know about you, but there is never a moment that is more void of hope than when I hear somebody say that. And there is never a statement that is more untrue than that. Because, friends, life in the kingdom of God is a life of promise that every one of us, when we trust in Jesus, will continue to grow and change and become a more beautiful, more God-intended kingdom version of who we are. Do you believe it? I hope you do. And I hope that if there is that voice in you saying, "I cannot change," that you will confront it and that you will say, "God, give me the strength and the courage I need to stand up against that, because I want to go where you want to lead me." I do, imperfectly. And I hope you do imperfectly as well. It is just not possible to sincerely follow Jesus and not grow. That's his promise. So friends, the most true thing about you tonight is that God loves you just the way that you are. As you come in, and all of your complexity and my complexity and all of my getting it rights and getting it wrongs and yours too, God loves us just the way that we are. But his love for us is so deep that he does not want us to stay where we are tonight. He wants us to grow with him. And so if you're in a place tonight where you're ready to do that to the best of your ability, knowing that your efforts will be frail, but where you are weak, he is strong, I want to invite you to stand with me. And I'd like to pray and invite you to join me as we do so, as we close. Gracious and loving God, tonight we have been here, we have heard you, we have worshiped you. And God, we have come with a desire on our heart that we lean in, that we live a life of congruity, that our inner life is embodied and modeled in our outer life. We want to embody you, Jesus. We want to be those people who look like you. And so God, in those places where we have lots of opportunity to grow, give us your hope. Give us your reminder that we can with you. Remind us of your grace. Remind us of your strength and power. And God, would you fill us with your courage and strength in order to do that? We're your people, and we want to go with you where you want us to. And we make ourselves available to you in that way now. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Blessings, everybody. Great to be with you tonight.